This is a Mexican Crossing Lines. Hello and welcome to a Mexican Crossing Lines with Cindy Gomez Shemp
and Duke Gomez Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Okay, let's just skip the video now because we're done with the video. Do you guys want to hear it again? Because I could play it again, this time without all of the echoing. Okay. So my audience, I don't know if they want to hear that video again. The really the purpose of sharing that video with you was to show you that she was at the casino, and Bill Running Fisher said she wasn't anywhere to be found. She abandoned her daughter. Let's play that video again. Just play the audio. Let's see if you can manage to play it this time without the echo, and let's hear again. Can you put it on the screen?
Tell me your name.
Kathleen. Kat.
And your tribe?
Ogallala Lakota from and Pine Ridge.
Tell me a little bit of your history, which you just told me, about who you were related to and your great-grandmother.
Oh, my grandfather's Red Cloud. My great-grandmother was a survivor of Wounded Knee Massacre. Russell Means is my mom's first cousin, and Billy Mills is also my mom's first cousin. He was a track star in the Olympics.
I met him.
You did?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
And I was just telling her a little bit about how everything means something to us.
The teepee.
Culture. The teepee is the inside. The teepee is like the womb of the mother, and the door is small and low because when you go down and into the teepee, it's for humility. Yeah, like humbling yourself. Yeah. So, yeah, there's like a part, everything has...
How were they able to keep a teepee warm 300 years ago with no technology?
Because it was a buffalo hide.
And from what I understand, it's because of the way it's pointed that the heat stays at the top and therefore heats the...
They have the flaps open so the heat can go out. When it starts raining or something, you close the flaps, you know? So the inside doesn't get wet.
So they kept warm 300-400 years ago with buffalo hides and...
Buffalo hides and buffalo fur, the buffalo fur inside. What they used to do is cut the hide and then take the fur off. You see the Indian women?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then they just make the solid hide. And then that would be the teepee cover. And then they keep the fur for the winter to cover up and to lay down inside the teepee.
So their food, buffalo?
Buffalo. That's how we survived. We followed the buffalo everywhere. That's why they were able to starve us out by killing a majority of the buffalo the way they did.
Yep. Which is another tragedy.
Awful, yeah. And we used every single part of the buffalo. Every single part of it. Even the stomach, we would cook soup and stuff in it. Because it hangs, you know what I mean? And it won't bust or anything. Yeah. But
so,
everything.
For sustenance, for food, for clothing.
For clothing, for everything. We used every single part of the buffalo.
I would imagine that you used some of it for jewelry?
Yeah, like the bones
and stuff.
Yes, yeah.
What's the significance in
but
the
we used
eagle,
porcupine
in the eagle
the jewelry.
Feather? What is
porcupine
the...
Quill. Porcupine quill. It's really pretty jewelry that we use.
Oh.
Yeah, porcupine quill.
And the eagle feather. What is the significance in the eagle?
The eagle feather, is when the young man becomes a warrior. It's for warriors. That's what the eagle feather is.
So if
is
I
for.
See somebody with an eagle feather, they're a warrior.
They earned it. Usually, like the military that comes back from Iraq or wherever, they usually get an eagle feather from their tribe. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's get me back, my mug back on, and get the call going on the Skype. With Robin Gage. Folks, that video came from Robin Gage, a veteran who went down to Standing Rock with the Veterans for Standing Rock. Uh-oh. Retro. That number doesn't seem to work. Let me check.
Yes, please check.
Let me check. That was a really long interview, right? Well, she called me back again. And she gave me more information. She was like, it was almost like Melanie Stoneman, Bill Running Fisher, and her at the end of their interview. When I said, "What else do you want to talk about?" They were like, "Well, let me tell you." there's drugs and raping and meth. Oh my, there's, you know, all these horrible, horrible things going on. And when I'd ask them, who said that? That person over there. Did they have evidence? I didn't see it. They said they saw it. Did you see this thing? No, I never saw it. I don't know what they're talking about. And it just constantly, and this is one of the things that really disturbed me about the story, the all of these unsubstantiated rumors that got innocent people hurt. Because I want to remind you once again that Mary Trujillo, an elder woman with dementia, has been separated from her family since December 23rd, since my birthday. It's almost going to be a month. This is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And with so much evidence, I don't understand how the Morton County Sheriff's Department could have allowed this to happen. What kind of shoddy investigation they did. I don't understand how the Bismarck Tribune allowed this to be printed without any investigation. I don't understand how nobody did any legwork into trying to figure out the most minimal information and how all of these people's stories do not make sense. And I've got more, because I've got interviews with Wesley Clark Jr. coming up. Michael Wood is next. And I also have an interview with Ed Higgins. It's going to be very interesting to hear from all of these parts and pieces, because they're almost like pieces of puzzles that we have to fit together. And without that information, I don't even know who they were. There was a guy, I think, named Regis or something, is talking about how he told Lori Allen Vaughn to leave the camp, or he kicked them out of the camp or something like that. I'm really interested in seeing what all the comments were, because I can't do all of that. And I'm even doing my show today earlier, although we had a lot of interruptions and my phone died. And now I'm using a little tiny camera and this completely new setup. So folks, I apologize for how clunky this show is going right now, this third part, because I wanted to, I could have done this. I could have waited until my phone had repowered enough battery so I could do another live stream, and that could have taken, I don't know,
a couple hours, and then we would have been having to hear our audience track us for it, like, why are you up so late? Why don't you ever sleep?
Right. But I wanted to come back on as quickly as possible, and I don't know this new method very well, so we're learning, and I really don't know what I'm doing with this new thing, but I'm going to try it. And it seems to be working well, right? Does it seem to be?
Everyone loves it so far, it seems. In the, I've gotten a few compliments like, oh, you're doing fine, Nemo. You're doing good. Also, beautiful smile. And I'm like, nice.
Hello.
Hi, Cindy. It's Robin Gage. Josh Long told you about me.
Finally, we got you on the line. I'm so sorry. That was so difficult. I apologize for that.
Hey, that's okay. It happens. I was waiting for, I had my phone connected to my hip thinking, okay, I better not set it down if I don't hear the ringer, because I usually have it on silent.
Well, thank you for calling us. Would you like to introduce yourself? You know, I know you have a veteran's background, and how you ended up taking that video at the pavilion.
Okay. My name's Robin Gage. I was with the National Guard 270th MP unit here in California, and that was a very long time ago. I wound up at the casino because the weather was turning bad and we needed to get to Eagle Butte so I could catch my ride home. I came with another couple of vets in their SUV. Well, we didn't make it. We got stuck at the gas station and had no choice but to hunker down in the casino. Now, that was Monday. That was the 5th when that bad blizzard blew through. And me and another vet, she's from Florida, slept near the medic area because we both needed cots. We couldn't sleep on the floor. And we got up like Tuesday morning about 8 a.m. to go to eat breakfast. We came back. That's when I saw Kat and her mother, and it had asked her. They had had her mom all bundled up, and I tried talking to her, and she came over to me and said, she's got dementia. She's my 80-year-old mother, and she has dementia, so she doesn't know what's going on. I'm like, oh, I feel really bad. And they were tending to her wounds. She had slipped on the ice when they were trying to get her out of camp. She had banged up her arm and her leg. She seemed alert. Kat is just the sweetest person ever. We started talking. She was in the cot right next to me. And we were talking about my Native American background. and that I didn't know a lot. And I asked, and she started telling me that her grandmother was a survivor of Wounded Knee. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a lot of history. And that her cousin is Bobby Mills, who was, you know, in the, he's an actor. And we just started chatting along, and I said, would you like to, you know, come over here and just talk to me? I'm got a friend who's he's doing a documentary, and I've got one camera, I've got my phone, but he's at camp. And, well, let me back up a minute. Her mother hadn't eaten. And I said, well, you need to go to the buffet and I'll pay for it. You go get her something to eat and bring it back. Well, she didn't want to leave her mom's side. I said, don't worry about it. We've got somebody here and a couple of people. Medic would check on her every once in a while, maybe every half hour. But we had other people back there that were checking on her mom. And I had to physically tell her, I said, Kat, you need to go get yourself something to eat and go get your mom something to eat. So she went over to the buffet, came back with something to eat. And I said, can I just, you know, talk to you a little bit about your background? And she told me she was Ogallala. And I thought, well, I've never heard of that before. And she explained to me how you've got the Sioux Nation and then you've got splinter groups. And, you know, she's explaining all this stuff to me. And I said, well, what can you tell me? And we started talking about, I had just talked to an elder about the story about the four drums and the different colors that everybody was wearing. And I thought, well, that's an interesting thing. She goes, well, I have something interesting to tell you. So please tell me. I said, wait, let me get this on camera. So we were in the back. It was like a green room right behind the stage where it was nice and quiet. Mm-hmm. And I said, we were talking about how yurts were warm and, you know, some of the tents weren't, the vets had come that weren't too warm. And I said, you know, how did you, since you're obviously, you know, full-blooded Native American, how do the teepees keep you warm? So we started getting into a discussion about how the teepees keep you warm. And she goes, do you know the significance of the teepee? And I said, no, actually, I don't. And that's when she started to tell me how it represents the womb and how the door is low, so you humble yourself as you're coming in. And I thought, I never knew that. I thought that was kind of interesting. So for 2 days, we were there, and just her mom was being well taken care of. She got a little agitated Tuesday night. But, you know, that happens. I'm a caregiver, so I know what that happens with when you have patients with dementia. But the drum circles tended to keep her very quiet. Kat sat right there, right next to her the entire time, except for the time that she talked to me and talked to other people that were in the medic area. And L'Oreal was out in front on the stage, and she had just poked her head into the medic tent and saw that her mom had one of those, what do they call the, you know, those things that look like foil, little warming blanket, or whatever it's called. Okay. They wrap you up in it when you're warm. Mm-hmm. So she said, is your mother okay? She goes, yeah, she's been fed and she's being tended to. She's not hurt badly and she just, you know, needs some sleep. And that was the extent of it.
Excuse me.
So
excuse
I don't
me.
Know.
Let me stop you. I need to hear that one more time. Did you just tell
about
me
what?
That L'Oreal Blackshaw poked her head in and asked Kathleen and if her mother was fine?
Yeah, exactly. She did not know the name. She came in. She didn't come into the medic area. It was right there by the stage. She goes, is she all right? And the medic said, yeah, she's going to be okay. And that was the extent of it. That's it. So I don't know what she's saying that she didn't. Well, honestly, she did not meet Kat. But she did see her there. I don't know if she doesn't recognize her or what's going on, but I know who L'Oreal is. I met her briefly in the hotel with Michael, briefly. I knew that she was someone in charge because she seemed to have gotten up on stage a lot and was talking to the crowds about what was going on, the blessing or, you know, the prayer or whatever it was. And I know she was dressed a certain way. I believe she had some kind of hat on, I think it's what it was, some kind of like a beret or something. And I remember her distinctly because of the way she was dressed. But she didn't introduce herself to Kat and her mom, but she absolutely knew that woman was there. So I don't know what she's saying, that she never saw her there. That's an outright lie. And I have another girl who said, no problem. If you want to talk to my other friend, Shayna, that I met there, she was there next to me as well. We got along well. So she can also tell you exactly what I just told you. I think, I don't know what her problem is, and I thought maybe there were problems, so I kind of supported her and had her back because I'm just a low man on the totem pole, so I don't know what's going on. And now I'm hearing about the invoice for the tents for $45,000. And I'm like, wait, $15,000 for a combat tent? So I started looking into it. I'm like, those tents are only $2,000. So I got a hold of her and I said, L'Oreal, why are you charging so much for tents? She didn't get back to me. And I'm like, they're not $15,000 each. And then, of course, I found it through the grapevine through other people that she was way overcharging and padding invoices for things that she didn't get or were like maybe 25% of what she had asked for. I mean, it's a big difference between a $2,000 tent and a $15,000 tent.
That's incredible. That's an incredible amount of markup. I mean, it's not even like double the amount. It's like,
no, it's outrageous. I'm like, so I felt bad for her because, like, again, I was just there as a vet. I was the California lead RTL. I was in charge of the entire state of California, which had the most vets that went out there. And I said, look, I'm really good with organizational. I don't get into the politics of stuff, but I do not like what I'm hearing. And I'm like, I was with Michael. I don't know Wes all that well, but from the couple of times that I did talk to him, he's a very righteous, very nice guy, very compassionate, very kind. He's very passionate about how he feels about this whole Standing Rock thing. And I kind of fed off that passion because I felt the same way as him. And Michael is just a very together guy, and I do not like the rumors that are going around about him supposedly using $100,000 of that money to get a house in LA. That's just bull. That's not, no. I don't think people understand just how much a charter bus costs. They're expensive. And I believe we had like 15 of them. So, and then he used his own money to get the last 27 vets out of the casino. It was me, two of my guys from Sacramento, and 24 people from LA. We had one girl who came in a personal vehicle with a vet that was not on the roster, and he left her. I said, wait, you're not with this group? She goes, no. She goes, I don't know how I'm going to get home. I said, hold on. So I went and told Michael about it. I said, we're not under any obligation to get her home, but she is going to L.A. He took out his credit card and bought her a ticket home, plane ticket home. He had no hesitation about helping her out.
Now I have to recap for a minute because I will tell you some of your audio through the Skype call was a little pixelated, a little robotic, and I want my audience to hear what you said.
Okay.
Because your statement, you just blew my mind. Honestly, okay. You did, because we were thinking there was thousands and thousands of people at the pavilion. Someone must have seen Mary Trujillo, because all of these people said she just disappeared. Like, Mary just vanished and no one of her family was near her. She just shuffled into the casino on her own and got lost in the crowd. And then somehow her daughter, this woman who abused her so horribly on the 6th of December, got a hold of her again and continued to abuse her until they were able to rescue her on December 17th. I am on right now. This is a Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead. And I have Robin Gage on the phone with me. She's a veteran that came with the Veteran Stand for Standing Rock. She's from California. And she had a video online that we were able to find of Kathleen Bennett telling her about a teepee. I hate to make you rehash the story, but it's too good. And I want to hear everything clearly. So would you please tell my audience again what you witnessed? And if you would, give us some detail about how Mary and her daughter interacted, because this is a horrific story of abuse. And I haven't heard you say anything that Kathleen was doing that was abusive.
Okay, is Mary her mom's name? Because I never did get her mom's name. Yeah, is that her name?
Yeah, that's her, okay. That's her mom's
first
name.
First of all, that woman cannot walk. Mm-hmm. She has dementia and had to be brought in with help. So that right there, I don't know. I'm a caregiver, so I don't know what people are thinking. When you have an elderly person with dementia, they don't just wander off. That just, no. That is just wrong, all right there. Mm-hmm. Kathleen did not leave that woman's side for 1 minute. She was too afraid to even go to the bathroom. And I assured her, I'll stay with your mom. And if it wasn't me, my friend Shanna, who I just met that day, she said, I'll watch her. There was somebody at her side at all times. Poor Kat did not absolutely leave her side. She said, I need to go get my mom something to eat. I said, I'll pay for it. Don't worry about it. Come on, I'll take you down there. And I said, in the meantime, you need to get yourself something to eat. I'll talk to them about possibly putting a plate together and explain to them that your mom is at the medic tent and she needs to eat. So that was probably the only time, it was maybe 20 minutes that she was away from her mother. She made sure, she came in and she was kind of a bit distraught, not hysterically distraught, but her mother, trying to get her out of camp, had slipped on the ice while they were trying to get her into her car. Mm-hmm. And she had banged up her shin and her arm, and the medic came over. It wasn't bad. It was a couple of cuts and saw to it. But her mother, it's hard to explain that an elderly woman with dementia, I tried talking to her thinking, how are you doing? And she just looked at me, blank stare. Well, that's what patients with dementia do. Mm-hmm. They don't understand what's going on around them. Mm-hmm. And we made sure that there was somebody there. If it wasn't a medic came and checked on her about every half hour. There was somebody always there. We had an herbalist there that her table, she had herb tea and stuff, was maybe 10 feet away that was watching her. I was near her. My friend Shana was near her. She wasn't left alone. Kat, no way. No, absolutely not. Is she a cruel person or a neglectful person? Or I don't understand where all of this is coming from. And I've got other witnesses in that medic tent besides me and Shana, and I don't know Kat. So I have no personal vested interest in this. And I just know that this is an injustice. When I found out that she had been arrested for allegedly, what was it, tying her mom up, and she was found in her own feces on a day when she was at the casino with her?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know who said that. It's wrong.
Well, I have
it's
to tell
a
you,
lie.
I have to tell you,
I'm angry right now. I'm really angry that people would do this.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm horrified right now because when you talk about the care with which Kathleen always cared for her mom, the attention that she would never leave her side no matter what. When I heard Russell talk about how when they came back to the camp on the 17th and wouldn't let his mom ride in the ambulance with her as they took her to the hospital to check her out, how upsetting that must be and how terrifying it must be both to Mary and to Kathleen, who's in jail right now, to be separated for this long when this woman never left her mother's side. It was
I can testify to that. She did not. She is a very tender, very attentive woman. She was, her mom was on the cot. She was sitting on the floor on a sleeping bag and a blanket holding her hand the entire time. I looked over her and I said, is your mom going to be okay? She goes, yeah, we're warming her up right now. And I just remember her mother just hanging on to her hand so tightly. I'm sorry, but I'm a pretty good judge of character, and I can tell you right now, that is not how Kathleen came off to me. She came off to me as very kind and very attentive. She definitely loves her mother and wanted to be there. She didn't leave her side at all. So I'm no. Whatever I need to do, I don't understand why she hasn't made bail. Does she have a lawyer?
Yeah, she does. And they're trying.
Why isn't she out? What's their end game? Let me ask you that. Why? What is their end game? She isn't. I'm sorry. Don't mean to sound flip, but she's a nobody. So why are they picking on this woman and separating her from her daughter and her daughter is separating her from mother. What is their end game? Why? I'd like to know why.
I would love to know why, too, because this is one of the most cruel and tragic stories I have heard. And it gets to the core of your being as a person to hear it, because when you meet somebody like Mary, I only talked to her on the phone. She's just such a sweet lady. She called me frantically on my birthday, December 23rd, along with her grandson, begging me to help them sort out why the hospital had told them they had to leave, that emergency guardianship had been taken of her mother, and that they could not be with her. And on Mary Trujillo's birthday, on Christmas, her birthday is on Christmas, neither of them were allowed to even talk to her on the phone. The cruelty.
Has there been any kind of an arraignment?
There has been, and they're still trying to get the guardianship. I mean, the first thing that they want to do is to get the guardianship out of the hands of Melanie Stoneman, who's a felon, who has a history of kidnapping in her past, and put it back into the family's hands. I don't know why Melanie Stoneman was given guardianship of someone she's not related to at all. But what I find really interesting, and I want you to repeat this again for our audience, is that I specifically asked L'Oreal Blackshaw two things. One, did she remember meeting Russell Vasquez, the grandson, who was on the security team at the camp?
I don't think I met him.
He stayed back at the camp. He stayed back at the camp at the Tarpy. But I will tell you that he claims that he met her three times, and she never mentioned having met him or never mentioned her grandmother, or his grandmother. And when I asked her about it, she said, I heard your show, and I noticed that he said that he had met me three times. And I now kind of remember his face, but I really didn't. I met so many people, you know. And then I asked her, I said, you were at the pavilion on December 6th, and that's where Mary and her daughter were on December 6th. And they did not get a hotel room as requested, as they were told they would have. She had to sleep in a hallway, her grandmother, your grandmother on a cot, and the mom on the floor. And when I asked her if she saw anybody fitting that description, did you see anybody? Did you see Mary? Because she'd already watched my show. And if you listen to the interview that I did today with her, it was in three parts because my feed kept going down. But you'll listen to her say that she was at the pavilion on December 6th. She had already watched my show. She could tell me at what minute, at what part of the show, somebody said a specific thing. So she watched it. And she saw the faces because I played a lot of, I showed a lot of documents and evidence and pictures of the family, the color of the tarpy, the shape of the tarpy, the difference between what Bill Running Fisher said and what was the evidence that we had. And she said she'd never seen them before. I'd have to see a picture. Well, you just watched the show. There was plenty of pictures in the show. So it was really weird that she said that. And now to hear you say that she actually popped her head in and asked after how Mary and her daughter were doing. How's she doing? Can you retell that story? Because that blew my mind.
Yeah, I knew who L'Oreal was because it was the way she was dressed. She wore a beret and she kind of commanded the room. So I knew she was somebody important. And I remember her popping in. She didn't come in all the way. There's like a little curtain there. And she could see that the woman had been, you know, a couple blankets and people were tending to her. And she goes, how is she doing? Or is she going to be okay? Or something to the matter. And that was pretty much it. So technically, she did not meet Kathleen and her mom. But she very well did see them there. I don't know if she's got selective memory or what's going on, but she was there. So I don't know why she would say, maybe it was just, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for her, but I can tell you right now that she did poke her head back there to see what was going on, because we had just brought, not we, but the veterans had just brought in a whole bunch of people that were suffering from hypothermia, elderly people, and mm-hmm. her cat's mom was one of them. So that's what she did, was to come in to find out, because when we came back from breakfast, that place was full of people with bundled up with blankets and getting tended to. And she came in for whatever reason and said, is she all right or is she going to be okay or whatever? So, yeah, she was there. She knew. I don't understand. I mean, we were there the 5th, 6th, and 7th, 3 days. Kat was there the morning of the 6th. Her mom, Mary, and her were there on the 6th. We didn't leave until the 7th, late at night.
So did you notice when Kathleen and her mom left?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Let me think. Let me think here. Oh my God. I'm trying. I hadn't had hardly any sleep that night because I was trying to get everybody home.
Yeah.
They came in around, I don't know, maybe 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Wow. I think it was 1 o'clock. They needed to clean the venue area up. And so everybody needs to leave. You know, they had something coming up that weekend. So by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, everything was out of the venue area and they had closed the doors. So I didn't physically see them leave, but everybody had to be out of that auditorium by 2 o'clock. So I think it was 2 or 2:30, something like that. So I didn't physically see her leave, and I know that she wasn't in the little area in the lobby where we were. So the last I saw them was around noonish, 12:30 on Wednesday. What is that, the 7th?
7th.
Yeah, on the 7th.
Wow. Okay.
And I really did not find out what happened with her. I wish, you know, I don't know. I mean, I wondered about her, and then Josh got a hold of me and I said, what? I said, you've got to be kidding me. So I wish there was a way I could get a hold of Kat to let her know that, hey, I'm here for you. Whatever you need.
Well, you know what? I know that, her son, watches these programs, has been following what we have been reporting, and he will get a message to her and let her know how you feel. If you could, if you would be kind enough to share the names of the other witnesses that saw Mary and her daughter Kat there, that you could share with, Josh or myself, in private message.
Yeah, I told Josh, I wanted to talk to Shayna first, and she said, absolutely, give them my name. I will talk to them.
Okay.
So we made really good friends. She was, like I said, from Florida, and she was stuck there with us too. So we were in the same cots next to each other. So we spent 2 days, she's a really funny girl. We're actually pretty good friends now. I mean, at least I hope so. But she said, absolutely. She can tell you exactly. I said, do you remember the lady that came in? And I kind of, she goes, yeah. The older lady, and I said, this is what's going on. She goes, what? Not cool. So if you need to talk to her as well and get her side of the story, then I'll let her know. And
I would love her
last name.
That's fine. I just want people, you are like finding the needle in the haystack. You are the needle. You're the needle. You know, because when I first heard this story, and I talked to Kathleen before she was taken to jail, and I talked to her grandson, and they were frantic. When I talked to Bill Running Fisher, he told me these people did not care about their mother, that they didn't care about her at all, that they treated her horribly, that she was caked in her own feces and urine when she was transported out by an ambulance to the casino accidentally. She was supposed to be taken to a hospital, but in the shuffle of the blizzard, she got transported to the casino instead. She was naked except for a sweater, and she had been zip-tied to a chair with her arms to her side in a tent that had no heat, no wood-burning stove, cold to the touch, and that she had been abandoned.
I don't believe that at all. Nope, I don't. If she was in her own feces, she sure as heck came into the medical tent with clothes on and she didn't smell, she didn't look dirty at all.
Was
so
she naked?
If that were true.
Was she naked? Well,
know,
no, she.
No, she was absolutely not naked. No, she had clothes on.
I have to ask you because either the ambulance that never came to the camp had, you know, a shower and a changing station and was clothing her on the transport to the casino, then she would have been Then she would have still have to be caked in her own filth and smelling and, you know, really in bad shape. Did she look like she was in bad shape when you saw her?
No. She had a couple of scrapes on her forearm and her shin. That was it. And she wasn't even hurt that bad. They just put some antibiotic ointment on her. And the medic said she's fine. It's just very minor scrapes and bruises.
And you're...
That was it. She was not naked at all. She, oh, my God. Just, oh, this just pisses me. Now I'm getting pissed because this is not right.
I know. I'm not laughing at you.
God.
I'm just like, I understand.
I know. It just makes me mad.
Oh, God. Listen, Robin, it has made me crazy. I've almost lost my mind trying to share this story with people because the evil, I mean, all of these people and their backgrounds and the fact that they all have fake backgrounds and fake last names and that they lied about all the... L'Oreal Blackshaw told me that Bill Running Fisher and somebody named Catherine or I believe that she was assistant to Phyllis Young. She, Christine, I'm sorry, that she came, they asked for a casino room for an elder which had been abused, and that this happened sometime after midnight, either on December 5th or December 6th. And you say, you say that they arrived at the casino on the 6th around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
I was there on the 5th. I was there at 5th. I got there on the afternoon, or about 6 o'clock on Monday the 5th, once the blizzard started because our bus got stuck. So I was there. And like I said, on the 6th, Tuesday, we left for breakfast at 8 a.m. And when we came back about an hour later, that's when we saw that they had put Mary on this cot next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And they had moved all of my stuff out of the way. And I said, no problem, as you know. And they go, I'm sorry. They apologize. The medic said, no, that's okay. That's okay. Attend to this poor lady. I wanted to, like I said, I tried talking to her, but she was not very talkative. And that's when Kathleen was there. And I said, is your grandma? She was with my mom. And I said, is she going to be all right? And they go, yeah, you slipped on the ice. And there were a lot of people that came in with a lot of, you know, injuries for slipping on the ice. And I thought, and she came over to me. She goes, she's got dementia. And I said, oh, okay. So that's why she's not communicative. And I said, okay.
You know, what else is interesting? Russell, her grandson, told me that, you know, they took her to camp because she's a descendant of the survivors of Wounded Knee, as well as the fact that they said that she loved being at the camp, that the sound of drumming calmed her and that she just loved being around it. And you said the same thing.
It. Yeah, she loved it. And they had the drum circles, you know, in the auditorium, and it quieted her down because, like I said, with any dementia patient, they're going to have a lot of outbursts. And, and I said, oh, she kind of cat looks at me. She goes, that's my mom. And I said, oh, the drums have stopped. And I said, that's why. So another drum circle had started up. She calmed right down. She absolutely loved the sound of the drums. It calmed her down. Sweet lady. Very sweet lady. She reminded me of my own mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I just can't. There's no way that you will ever convince me that woman is anywhere abusive or neglectful. There's just no way. When you get in a situation such as an evacuation, which is what it was, and you get in that kind of situation, it's fight or flight, and you get in a room with a bunch of different personalities and no personal space to speak of, and you've got a lot of political stuff going on with the tribes, which I'm now finding out was pretty bad. A difficult, complicated, however word you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the best of people as well. And when you're in that situation, you bond with people right away. You get to see the worst of them or the best of them. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is no way that soft-spoken woman was ever abusive to her mother, ever. And I will testify to that under oath. Absolutely.
Well, I would love to get the information for you and the other witnesses that saw that, because it may come to that. Unfortunately, Kathleen Bennett, Russell's mom, is still in jail. And his grandmother is still in a hospital. And we're all just trying to figure out the best and quickest way to help this family so that they can be reunited, because It's
her bail is what? Her bail was set at
$10,000 cash only. We did post.
Really?
Yeah, cash only.
Why?
They've been doing that here in North Dakota. For everybody that's been arrested.
I don't understand that. I mean, oh my God. I want to go back to Standing Rock so bad right now, but I just do not have the funds to get out there. I'm worked up now. I'm really, really just, this is so wrong.
It is.
I don't understand. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this poor lady. Why? Is she somebody important? I mean, what kind of statement are you trying to make by doing this? Are you making an example out of her? And for what reason? I don't get it.
It seems like many people at the camp, not just the, the family of Russell Vasquez, were removed from camp right around the same time. And there's a lot of other, as you said, politics that are going on around the story. But the bottom line is that it doesn't matter what the reason was, why people were kind of thrown under the bus and put into these horrible situations. The people, the real human beings that are paying the price right now, are Russ's grandmother, Mary Trujillo, and his mother, Kathleen Bennett. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Those are the two people that are suffering the most, he and his family members, or the people that are suffering the most. And they don't know, they don't understand any more than you do. And that's what the most horrifying part of the story is, to have something so horrible happen to you and to be telling people, I would never do something like this. My family would never do something like this. My mother never did something like this. And out there in the world, there's an article in the Bismarck Tribune that is speaking this way of Kat, that is putting her, making her this villain, a villain. I mean, the way they describe what she did, it is really horrific. It makes people think she's a monster.
Is this information they got from L'Oreal and that other, I forgot the name that you mentioned, the other
Melanie Stoneman.
Are they getting this information from them and believing it as the truth? Can I make a call to them and tell them my side of the story?
Yes, you should. I think you should call the Morton County Sheriff's Department and give them your statement right away and tell them you have information about this elder abuse case. In fact, I believe we have that on Let's Work. I think that on the Let's Work document, Nemo, if you want to bring that up in here. You got to scroll down. Well, let's see if I can find it. I think I'm
also there's the equivalent. We have what's called adult protective supervision here in California, but I guess they have the equivalent of something like that in North Dakota. And I've already got their phone number, and I was prepared to call except Monday was a holiday. So I will call them as well because I guess they got involved now.
Yep.
So whoever I need to call, I mean, this is just wrong. I wish there was not so much politics because now, because of what went on with the $1.4 million that was raised by the Veterans for Standing Rock and the rumors that were being spread.
Yep.
Nobody is donating to any Standing Rock GoFundMe at all. I can't even get $1,000 raised so I can get back out there. They don't trust anybody. They think they're all scams. And thanks a lot, you know, whoever messed that up.
I think that everyone, not just the people that have witnessed this, yourself and all your friends that saw Kat there with her mom, taking care of her, never leaving her side, you all need to call these places, especially Morton County. Give them the case number. The case number is 30-2017-CR-0022. I will repeat that. That's case number 30-2017-CR-00022. This is for the case of a felony of endangering a vulnerable adult dated October 1st, 2016.
Okay.
October 1st, 2016. Isn't that weird?
Why? Wait. If this supposedly happened on the 5th or the 6th, why wait another week, 10 days to do anything about it?
I don't understand either. It was 11 days.
This does not make any sense. Believe me, I am... used to fighting for my rights. I'm not going to go into it, but 17 years ago, I was actually put in jail for free speech because I kind of ticked off the judge, and there was no way I was backing down. So I'm not afraid of them. And I'm in California. It's like, what are you going to do? Wait until I step foot in North Dakota and put me in jail too? I'm not afraid to go to jail. If that's so be it. I know what the truth is. I was there. I had just met her. So I, like I said, I have no investment in this. I'm not being paid by anybody for this testimony, and I will do whatever it takes because I'm sorry, but it's wrong. And that is what I'm going to stick up for. Kat, it's just, it's wrong what they're doing.
And you know what's really sad is that every day that they're not together, the clock is ticking. People in those conditions, especially when they're taken away from their loved ones and surroundings that they're that are highly supportive and that they recognize, they tend to deteriorate more. And she's been alone. And so I appreciate you so much, Robin. Anything you can do, and any other people that can be mobilized to call Morton County, I would appreciate. Everyone should do that.
I just got a personal message on my Facebook from another lady who was also there. And she just told me, and I'll read it to you. She goes, yes, I was there on intake when she got to the casino. No bruises. She had clothes on. See, I know all the truth about L'Oreal, and I didn't know it was Kate's mom.
Wow.
Kat's mom. So it's all coming together. I met Jen there. I briefly.
Okay.
I believe her. She is a credible witness. You could also talk to her.
Thank God.
But all this is coming to fruition, and we've got to get Kat out. I think that is, we have to get Kat out of jail, and we have to do something about reuniting her with her family, and Mary reuniting her with her family.
Yeah,
I'm sick of it.
And you know what? This is exactly what the veterans coming to Standing Rock is meant to be about, helping people. Thank you for helping people, real indigenous people in a struggle where they are being ground under the wheels of a bus and they didn't even know what hit them or why. So, oh my God, I feel like we solved a giant mystery and we are going to actually be able to help this family. Thanks to you and the veterans that came here that step forward and are telling us the truth about what really happened on December 6th to Mary and to Kathleen. Thank you so much, Robin. We will continue to be in touch. Thank you for being with me on this.
You call me anytime you need me. I've got two other witnesses that just got a hold of me as we're talking right now. Mm-hmm. And they said, absolutely, I will. You have Facebook.
Yep.
Am I correct?
We're going to be in touch.
Can I just text you the information to you?
Yep. Or you can send it to Josh because we're going to be in touch with you for sure, Robin.
Okay. Anything I can do. I'm sorry I don't have the $10,000 for her. I wish I'd be out there in a hot second to get her out of jail. I am so mad right now. I try to lay low and I try to stay out of the politics, but not when there's an injustice so grave like this. Mm-hmm. I have to speak out.
I feel you. I think we're all feeling that. And you are a hero to me because we were praying for you. You're a miracle wrapped in a hero, wrapped in a vet. Because
let's hope we can call that favor in and get her out of there.
Yeah.
She needs to be out of that jail and get Mary reunited back with her family.
Immediately. There's all the proof necessary now. We've done all the work for Morton County for them. All they have to do is let these people be reunited. And, you know, with that, I want to thank you. I'm going to close out this show. We've come to the end of our fifth hour, I think it was. Thank you for being here on A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Thanks for being with me, Robin.
Okay, Cindy, no problem.
Bye.
Bye.